At the Home Depot, we have all kinds of trees, but the one thing they have in common is they're all made for joy. Trees that easily click together and light up automatically. Trees that connect to your phone. Or even keep their shape with memory wire. When you buy your artificial tree at the Home Depot, not only will you get more joy out of it, you'll be able to put more under it. Find the perfect tree for your style and space, starting at $49.98 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Lord and Master, He wants us to know Him as the God who lives on the inside of us. He wants to know Him as the God who loves us unconditionally. He wants us to know Him as the God who empowers us and enables us in every single circumstance of life.
For help and hope from God's Word, visit In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley at intouch.org.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this, on this 31st day of October. This is Halloween, which is the left's, the far left, the Democrats' high unholy day. And I would imagine, Joe, to them it's kind of like what Resurrection Sunday is to us, the holiest day.
This is party hardy, where you can dress up and get sexy and do all kinds of drinking, partying, and have a little kids eat candy that's not good for them. So it's a day that we just should hide from.
Have you ever thought about being sexy, Joe?
No, I gave that up for Lent way back when I was an Episcopalian.
Oh, I'm just saying, folks, please be very careful with that candy. Please, please, please out there.
Please, yeah.
Be very, very careful with that candy. When the, if you go out and if you do that and you get the candy, check it out really good. And, boy, I don't even know. I would not. This is why we have harvest parties in the church and that, so that we don't have to worry about that, but... Anyhow,
or
alrighty.
Take your children to people you know and trust.
Yeah. And so, here, well, you know, where I live and where you live, we don't have any trick-or-treaters. We haven't had
no,
one. In...
We don't get any. They have to walk a long way to come out here in the dark. And yeah, they just don't come.
No, they don't come out where we're at either. It's, well, there's, the houses are far between and there's no sidewalks.
Yeah.
And
what's a sidewalk? I don't even know what an asphalt road is.
And I'm too cheap to give them candy anyhow. No, no, for, seriously, please.
Right.
Folks, check the candy if you're going to do that. If you're going to take those kids out, be very careful. All right, Joe, we're going to pick it up where we left off. Do you remember the title of, this, of the message?
Traitories Then and Now.
And so we're going to pick it up where we left off. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. We read it, but we didn't comment. And start in verse 26. Let's take it a verse at a time, okay? So
okay.
Go ahead and read verse 26.
For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins.
Okay, now he's speaking about a specific sin here, a very specific sin that, and that's talked about in verse 29. Now, what is the acceptable sacrifice, Joe, for all other sins?
Well, our bodies are a living sacrifice. It's our service to God that it's our sacrifice.
Well, he's talking about here. He's talking. No, he's talking in the lines of the repentance for all other sins.
Oh.
Okay, for all other sins, repentance. Okay, but
this is
a different one here. He's speaking. He says, but for a fearful looking for a judgment and a fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much, much sore punishment, suppose you shall be thought worthy who had trodden underfoot the Son of God, who hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he hath sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Now, there are two sins, Joe, that people confuse often. One is the unpardonable sin, and one is the unforgivable sin.
Right.
They're not the same. They're two different sins. Now, the unpardonable sin was a sin that was done by the national leaders of Israel. In what they did is they blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus was very specific. He said that should not be forgiven them in this age, which was the fifth dispensation, or the age to come, which is the age we're in right now, which is the church
right.
age.
Church age.
Okay. So when will it be forgiven them? And that
for those individuals, it probably never would be, would it?
Yeah. He's talking. See, that sin was for Israel nationally. He was speaking to the national leaders.
Oh, to the nation when they get
to the nation, right? So the answer would be during the tribulation period.
Tribulation period. Yeah.
Yeah. The tribulation period is the purification period for the wife of God, which is the nation of Israel, and so.
I
here, but now.
But first, individuals versus the nation. This is for the nation.
The unpardonable sin is. This is not the unpardonable sin. This sin here is
right.
the unforgivable sin. What he's referring to in verse 26, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, okay, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin.
Right.
Who is the truth, Joe?
Those are Jesus Christ. So the critical thing is turning away from his once and for all perfect sacrifice. It's rejection.
Right. After you understand it and you understand what you're doing.
Is, what he did, the rejection of the Christ.
Okay. So then once you understand it and you reject it, then, well, you're in big trouble. Okay. He goes on to say, now, how much sore punishment suppose you shall be thought worthy, who hath trodden under the foot of the Son of God, hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he has sacrificed an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. Now, Joe, what's the difference between vengeance and revenge? Vengeance and revenge. One of them is just, and the other is personal or emotional.
Oh, the Lord said, vengeance is mine. He will seek out. We are not to seek vengeance.
Okay. So is vengeance justice? Is vengeance justice? Vengeance.
Yes, it's supreme okay. justice. It's God's
okay.
justice.
But now, what is revenge?
Revenge is man's this bad behavior, really. Taking
getting
revenge.
Even for being wronged?
It's payment for being wronged.
Okay, so Is there a whole area in where that would have different implications? Okay.
Yes, definitely. We're to forgive certain things, but severe, like an enemy coming down, killing, it's time for take action and fight back and stop the whatever's happening.
Right. And so here, so now, for we know him that has said vengeance. Oh, no, I already did that. It is a fearful thing. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Okay.
Well, he's the supreme judge of the universe, and if you go against him and spite him, reject him, and you're going to be standing in his judgment.
So is God totally just?
Totally.
Now, is God long-suffering?
Very long, a lot longer than any man would ever be.
Is he slack concerning his judgment?
No.
So are you going to, in other words, at any time, do you ever get over on God?
No. Never. He knows every thought you have, every word you've spoken, every deed, every hair in your head. He even knows what you're going to do every day for the rest of your life, so you're not going to pull anything over on him.
Okay, so you don't get over on God. You might as well forget that, huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, let's go back to Matthew.
I don't know what I'm going to say tomorrow or do, but God does.
Right. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 10 and pick it up in verse 15. Okay?
All right.
Just read verse 15 and then stop.
Verily, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city.
Okay, so now, that tells us several things, right? One is that there's different degrees of punishment, right?
Yeah, there are.
And, of course, that means, and there's also different degrees of rewards in heaven, huh?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so if we go back to verse 14, and whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear the words when you depart out of the house, shake off the dust for your feet, verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Now, let me ask you this.
The people in Sodom and Gomorrah had not heard the gospel of Christ preached to them, the good news.
So,
right.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, who is he speaking to? The Lord Jesus is speaking to who here? To the Jews.
He's speaking about the 12, so he's speaking to them.
Yeah, he's speaking to them, and they're soon to be the early church fathers, huh?
Right. They're going to be the leaders of the church and the ones that will go out and bring the gospel to the world.
So he is telling them that these cities in Israel, that they are to go to, if they reject them, don't receive their gospel. Because remember, he said to remind them that the kingdom of God is among you.
Yeah.
Had they received Christ, the millennial kingdom would have been ushered in, huh? The golden age.
Right then and there.
But they refused. So now, why did he say that, well, their punishment is going to be greater than the days of Sodom and Gomorrah? I mean, because he talked about, remember what he said in Sodom and Gomorrah in verse chapter 19? He said, the sin is very grievous, grievous, okay?
Well, again, the Jews knew the Old Testament. They had been taught it, they had studied it, they knew about the coming of the Messiah. It was all there in Scripture, and still they rejected the Son of God. And the people in Sodom and Gomorrah just didn't listen to God. They didn't reject Christ, or they were just sinners that didn't want to look to God.
Okay, so do you think that our immutable God looks upon LGBTQ the same way as he looked on Sodom and Gomorrah?
I think he looks differently because most of them have heard the gospel at some point. In fact, you have a lot of these that are still trying to profess to be Christian, like you have the lesbians or the sodomites that claim to be a pastor or, let alone a Christian, they can be neither. But they've heard the word and rejected it and decide to make it, oh, God loves us anyway, and he's going to bless us and because we're, you know, so good and loving and all that. So he's going to judge them more harshly.
So would that be a form of blasphemy? Because they say that, many of them say that the Lord Jesus was a sodomite.
Yeah, that's not only blasphemy, but total rejection of Christ. So they're committing the unforgivable sin.
Okay. He says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be you therefore wise as serpents and harmless as dove. How are serpents wise? I mean, can you ever tell a serpent? I mean, have you ever trained a snake to fetch your shoes? Oh, go get it. Bring back the ball, boy. Okay. I can tell my dog up here, and he'll jump right up wherever I point. If he can reach it, he'll jump up there and sit right there. Can you do that with a serpent?
Nope. The serpent that must be referred back to in the garden, the serpent deceiving Adam and Eve in that sense, because basically snakes are very dumb and they defend themselves. They hide their secretive. They strike without warning, some of them, and they're hidden from you usually. But I don't call that smart.
Well, I think you hit on something, Joe, okay, when this is wise. In that sense, when you come up on a serpent, who usually knows who's coming? Does the serpent usually know you're coming first, where you're at,
yep,
or do you usually know?
Senses you first.
Okay, do serpents often give you a warning that don't come any closer?
Some do, some don't.
Okay. Do serpents usually...
Most of them don't.
A lot of, like, those brown fertilizers, those things were horrible. They would come, you'd make a noise, they'd come right to the noise. In fact, you made sure you never slept on the ground because they would crawl up next.
And then there's a lot of poisonous snakes that hang in trees, and you walk under and they just drop down and bite. And only the rattlesnake gives a warning that I know most of the other snakes don't.
Well, some do in a sense, like the black mambas. They will rise up where you can see them. Usually it's more of a distance than they can spit at you.
Yeah.
But they will rise up. They will let you see them. What you're talking about, the only snakes that I knew that would fall down on you were the anaconda. And some of them were so...
matters that in the banana plantations in different places in the world, there's a lot of snakes that are poisonous in the trees, and the workers get bit and killed every year around the world.
You know,
I remember they're kind of adder.
It's ironic. You know, one of the most poisonous snakes out there is a coral snake. But it's one of the most poisonous, but actually it's one of the most harmless. And the reason it's so harmless is that its mouth is so small, it really can't bite you any place except for, like, on the lip or between the shoulder,
right,
fingers.
Like the bamboo viper in Nam. I think it was one of the most poisonous snakes in the world, even more poisonous than a coral. But they, you could pick them up and they had a flat of your hand. They couldn't bite you. They had to, like you said, get in skin in between or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But they loved to get in boots where it was dry and warm.
Where I live now... When I first moved in here years ago, we had a lot of timber rattlers. And they're smaller than a normal rattler. They're
right.
Not as big, but they're actually more deadly. They're more venomous. And, it was something how it seems like often the smaller ones are the most deadly. But anyhow, let's go on.
Yep.
Let's finish this. I'm getting... talking about snakes instead of the gospel, Joe.
Yeah.
All right. So now we go over to beware of men, for they deliver you up to councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. You should be brought before governors, kings, for my name's sake, testimony. Now, does this have more than one application? Because I was listening to some preterists yesterday, and they were absolutely sure that these prophecies have all been completely fulfilled already. But now, does this have an application for the present time, and
sure,
does it have a future application
around the world? And even now, starting to happen here, you see stories that Biden administration is anti-Christian and doing different things against Christians.
Okay, so now he says this, and you should be brought before governors and kings for my name's sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Now, but when they deliver you up, take no thought or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that very same hour what you shall speak. Has that happened to us on multiple occasions during our lifetime? I've been arrested
sure
multiple
has.
Times.
During
yeah.
different arrests, different situations, yeah, it's happened many times.
And so when they put me up there, the interesting thing is I always answered their question with a question. That's what the Lord Jesus did. So I answered the questions with the questions, and it used to drive them crazy. The prosecutors would just go out. In one case we had where I was doing that, and this ACLU prosecutor got frustrated, and she yelled out, "Judge, will you please make him answer the question?" So the judge turned to me and said, "Will you answer the question?" I said, "What is the question?" And the judge says, "I don't know." And I said, "Either do I."
Neither do I.
He said to the prosecutor, "What is the question?" And the prosecutor said, "Just never mind. Never mind. Couldn't remember." And so we've seen this here. He goes on and he says, "For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in the city, flee into another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man cometh." Okay. So now the preterists claim that that was fulfilled when Jesus was resurrected, okay? But here, are we looking for the coming of Jesus?
We sure are. We're waiting for his second coming.
Now, the disciples is not above the master and the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as the Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of the household?
So his household, yeah.
So who is Beelzebub?
He is basically, it's a word for Satan, isn't it?
Beelzebub means Lord of the Flies, Lord of the Flies.
Lord of the Flies, yeah, but they're referring to Satan himself, aren't they?
Right. "Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, that speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, you shall preach upon the housetops. And fear not them that kill the body, but are able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the body and the soul in hell."
Hell.
Okay, now he goes
That's
on to say,
clear. Our soul is more important than our physical body, and it's only Satan that can take both.
All righty, I'm going to read just a couple more verses here. "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before man, him will I confess also before my Father." Let's pick it up here. This is important. So tomorrow on verse 32 of Matthew chapter 10. We'll pick it up at verse 32 of Matthew 10.
True.
We'll
okay.
be back. Well, we're going to go to a clip here in a minute. Okay. And this clip, Joe, we're going to be... Oh, we haven't got it yet.
No.
Okay, well then, we're not going to go to that clip then. Yeah, you have a... Okay, go ahead.
We're fed up with the Green New Deal and the socialists who created it. We're fed up with the attacks on our fossil fuel and energy industries. We're fed up with an open border. We're fed up with human trafficking. We're fed up with fentanyl flooding our country. And we're fed up with illegal immigration. We're fed up with critical race theory. We're fed up with boys competing in girls' sports. We're fed up with... We're fed up with the liberal media, Twitter, Facebook, Google, and YouTube for blocking conservative speech. We're fed up with our government and universities censoring conservative thought, canceling debate, and rewriting history. We're fed up with the corruption in the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security, the CIA, the NSA, and the police. We're fed up with mask mandates, vaccine mandates, the CDC, the NIH, the WHO, and the misinformation campaign surrounding COVID-19. And we're fed up with Anthony Fauci. We're fed up with the politicians and the elitists in D.C. who are getting rich while the middle class falls further behind every year. We're fed up with Joe Biden, with Nancy Pelosi. We're fed up with the January 6th Commission and those people who think that they can gaslight us. And we're fed up with Liz Cheney. As of November 8th, we're taking our country back.
All righty, we are back. Okay, Joe, do you know what? Tell me about 82,000 emails. What does that have to do?
This is nice breaking news. We owe a lot to a report from Just the News revealed that today the National Archives has found more than 82,000 private emails. You'll never guess. Uncle Joe Biden under different aliases, different names. The report described the government's confirmation as a stunning admission. And the report explained that they could be a great help to several ongoing federal and congressional investigations into criminal behavior by the Biden family. All this came about because the Southeastern Legal Foundation's Freedom of Information Act lawsuit produced the confirmation of the emails. Now, it sounds really good, but we got a little glitch here. Congressman Scott Perry of Pennsylvania is on the Oversight Committee looking into impeachment. And he said the problem is that he said lawmakers in Congress must take action to ensure all the emails are preserved, given the history of Hillary Clinton's team trying to delete her private emails, destroy the devices they were stored on. And he said we have to make sure that doesn't happen. If you and I remember, we were talking about Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, Senator, several years ago was warning about the private, you know, about Biden's private use of emails. We mentioned, I think it was like four years ago. And so the National Archives has told the court they have 82,000 pages Biden Center received during his vice presidential tenure on three pseudonym accounts. And they've done this search, and they're saying, well, because of the volume, you know, they've had the three separate accounts over 8 years, that it's going to take them a while to get this all together. And they are currently processing those documents and preparing any non-exempt responsive documents for production on a rolling basis. In other words, they'll kind of hand them out a little at a time. It's very interesting because you remember Hillary had a server in her bathroom, was working government, had secret, top secret documents on her own server system. She bleached bit computers, wiped out about 55,000 hard copy pages representing, you know, untold number of emails. They smashed phones, everything else, and of course, nothing ever happened. She was never charged. I think it was about a dozen offenses she could have been charged with, and she wasn't even given a misdemeanor. So everybody's a little worried now that we found these. Can we force the archives to actually turn them over to the lawsuit? That's the big question.
Well, the problem, again, like I said, we'd have to get it directly into a court. We do not have a Department of Justice.
No, it is so corrupted.
It is absolutely, completely corrupted. The only thing it does is it's there to protect the Communist Party members, to protect Biden, and they've all been corrupted. You know, we talked about the Pandora Papers. Folks, everything we've told you has come out to be true. Everything. Just like if we can get our clips up tonight, in there, General Flynn is talking. And he tells you about what we've told you for years about pedophilia being rampant within the Democratic collective.
All right. If you can't get your clip up, I have, and I think you've got a copy now where you can actually just read a lot of it, but it'd be better to have the clip up.
Well, there is a 20-second, the little clip you have, but actually that part of it comes right about 18 minutes into the clip, but there was a separate part of that, which is about a 20-second clip.
Oh.
If I could find that, I actually, I could just play, that was what I'm looking here now to see is what General Flynn just made this one statement. Somebody pulled just that part of it out, but
you're looking, I'll tell the folks about this one. Rachel Alexander, writing for World News Daily, as a guest writer. Fascist lawfare is forcing Trump attorneys to take guilty pleas. We were talking about this corrupt government. The left has gleefully discovered that by dominating the legal system, they can squelch conservative agendas, viewpoints through the courts. It's gotten so bad, judges are afraid of losing their careers and reputations and being harassed by protesters if they're issuing rulings, unless they're issuing rulings that comply with the fascists out there. State bar associations are disbarring conservative attorneys, which deters other attorneys from representing conservative positions, like challenging election corruption. Prosecutors are going after the brave attorneys who assisted President Trump. And knowing that the system is so stacked against them that it would end up serving time in prison if they go to trial, so attorneys Sidney Powell, Jenna Ellis, and Kenneth Chesbrough, along with the bail bondsman Scott Hall, all agreed to accept plea deals in the politically motivated RICO prosecution by Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis this month. In other words, they were facing, under fake charges, crooked courts. These powerful attorneys would end up going to jail for years if they did not plead to lesser charges. The system is so corrupt that conservatives cannot get a fair jury trial in the liberal courts, which is that D.C. circuit, all of those that are being sent there. Remember, it was a Democrat judge that handled the Dominion lawsuit against Fox News that forced that $1 billion settlement. And It resulted in instructions stating that all of the statements made by attorneys Powell, Rudy Giuliani, as well as all the negative claims made on the network about Dominion were false. So here we had the jury was told by the judge that these attorneys that were testifying, Powell and Giuliani, and all the proof they had about Dominion, this is all false. So there's no way a jury could have found Fox News innocent because all the proof was disallowed by the judge. This is how bad we've become worse, Pastor, in my opinion, than a banana republic. And the judges will not transfer political trials to jurisdictions where they can get a fairer trial. They're refusing to do that. These judges will not recuse themselves when they extreme evidence of bias.
You've got that one right now in Denver. In Denver, that phony fake when they're trying to get Trump off the ballot. She is another one that refuses to recuse. They've got no honor. There's no integrity, no decency, okay? So whether they're wearing a suit, a black robe, or a dress, a whore is a whore, aren't they?
Well, yes, but it's even worse. Folks, you have to understand, we are experiencing a communist revolution. There is a coup going on inside the United States of America.
Absolutely.
The Democratic Party, the Communist Party, is trying to take over our constitutional republic, and they have found out that the legal system, especially the one in the deep state, can be used to foment this revolution, take control of the country, and this is why it is so imperative we've got to get more and more real conservative politicians elected, why we have to elect Donald Trump, why we can't really have anybody else. We've got to get him back in the battle. He is the one who will break this deep state, and the only one I think that has the knowledge and the power and who can stand the onslaught to do it. But I've got like two or three more pages of things where just proof of what I'm, what they're saying. And it's just sickening what they've done to our legal system. Remember what they did to General Flynn.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
The FBI and the legal system. They destroyed the man. They ruined his financial life, lost his house, all kinds of horrible problems over what? Because they didn't want him in there. He knew where the bodies were buried, so they could not have him in that position of power.
Absolutely. I want to make it clear when we talk about this, when I refer to them as whores, I'm doing it in the biblical,
biblical sense, right.
Yeah, what the Bible says is here. For example, in verse 12, my people ask counsel at the stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredom hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. In other words, this is exactly, these people are selling themselves, whether you sell yourselves for money, for paper, for power, whatever. The Word of God refers to that as whoredom. He goes on to say, for themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore, the people that doth not understand shall fall. So he's referring to not just a spiritual, and both a spiritual and a physical whoredom, isn't he? And so this is what we're talking
definitely.
About.
And so we have several other judges like that. Remember the judge Yvette Roland out there in California with that trial with the constitutional legal scholar John Eastman. She refused to allow multiple official government documents into evidence, and then she said his witnesses were not allowed to testify because she said their testimony isn't relevant. And even though they were, so here he is, guilty because the judge would not allow evidence in from government documents, would not allow witnesses. In other words, this was a trial that wasn't a trial because the outcome had been predetermined. The man was guilty, and the judge was going to make sure that no truth got into the trial. And it's the same thing they're doing with Powell, Giuliani, and these others right now. And one of the former DOJ attorneys had written an article, License to Lie, Exposing Corruption in the Department of Justice.
Oh, that is filled with...
going after him.
Remember some years ago when I called the Department of Justice and I talked to a couple of their lawyers and I asked them, do you know... Now, they have something like... I mean, it's an outrageous amount of people that work there, okay?
Oh, yeah. It's a huge place.
I think it's over 20,000 lawyers alone, okay?
Oh.
And I asked, I said, do you know of any Christians at all that work there for the DOJ, any? And he says, no, I don't know any. And I said, would you find out if there's any? He said, all right. He said, wait. And he put me on hold. He said, I will go and ask some of the other people here if they know of any Christians. So he went, and he was gone for a few minutes, and he came back. He said, I asked a number of people, lawyers here. None of them are aware of any Christians here at the Department of Justice at all. It tells you right there, doesn't it?
Sure does.
And what do you? What would you say as far as...
Attorneys and prosecutors are all, a great number of them are all bought and paid for by George Soros. Oh, which reminds me, he's donated billion now, all kinds of money right now, $15 million, to these pro-Palestinian protest groups that are out there all over the country and Europe, protesting about against Israel. And again, his Open Society records, all this money going through the Tide Center, and it goes down this chain that goes out, you know, through his whole pyramid of organizations, but basically it's millions of dollars to pay for those students that are out there on the street protesting and blocking bridges and going into Congress. They're all bought and paid for by good old George Soros.
Yep. Well, let's do this. I've been very impressed with listening to Christopher Wray. Christopher Wray is very, very concerned. He is saying that, guess what has happened, Joe? You've had large numbers of terrorists cross our borders. Now, Mariakis keeps telling us, okay, that the border is sealed, okay? And also...
No problems.
What's her name? Who's his spokesman, the press agent for Biden? The little woman.
I should get that Jean-Pierre.
Yeah. She keeps telling Jean-Pierre that the border's secured, right?
Right.
But we've been saying that there's thousands, okay, and at least over 40,000 Chinese alone, nationalists, Chinese soldiers, these are soldiers in plain clothes have come over.
Mm-hmm.
Now they've admitted that, yes, a large number of Iranians, they've found a large number of Iranians coming in.
And others from the Middle East, all over the Middle East.
A lot of Hamas is coming. Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda, they've got them all. ISIS, they found them all coming in. And now Christopher Wray, here's what he says.
Yeah.
Wray issues warning that Hamas and terrorist organizations may conduct attacks here on our soil. Well, my question to you, Mr. Wray, if you would answer this, I mean, if you could look me in the eye and tell me, and I would ask you, whose side would you be on, Christopher Wray? I think I know the answer. Do you think, Christopher Wray, all of this stuff could have been done without your help? Christopher Wray, could Biden, without the corruption and the treason by the FBI, Christopher Wray and the Justice Department, without the treason by the FBI, would Donald Trump not be the president? And if Donald Trump was president, the border would be secure. We wouldn't have brought in 7 million of these illegals. The border would be secure. If Donald Trump was still president, you would not have what's the war going on in Gaza today, and you wouldn't have what's going on in Ukraine. You wouldn't have all that. And if Donald Trump was still president, we would be independent. We would be energy independent today. Food prices would be one half of what they are today. And we would not be under this terror threat,
yeah.
Christopher Wray. And but Christopher,
even more. Think about it. He's telling about this. Okay, does he? He's busy tracking down Roman Catholics. He's busy going after parents who are protesting the mutilation of their children, you know, and people trying to fight the school boards. They're busy doing all this, but how many of these terrorists have they tracked? Do they know where they are? Do they know where some of the training camps that we've talked about on this show many, many times, do they know where they are? Do they have people watching? And the other big thing, did you catch when he was talking about we now have this higher risk of terrorism, and he put in there domestic ideology as one of the biggest risks why they're raised the security level to high risk, domestic ideology. He's talking about you and me.
I know who he's talking about.
In other words, he slipped that in there. We're on equal status with a Hamas terrorist, Hezbollah terrorist. He considers us, the Christian right conservatives, we're as dangerous because of our domestic ideology as these people that behead people, burn people, rape people, and murder people. And that makes me madder than a word I will not use on a radio.
Well, especially if you're a pro-lifer.
Yeah.
If you're a pro-lifer, yes. Okay, so FBI director.
In the same category of these murderous terrorists that commit unspeakable acts. And in the same sentence, he included all of our listeners out there. He should be ashamed, folks. We should be calling our congressmen, our senators, those that are on the right side. I mean, don't bother to call Pelosi. And say, did you hear him say that the heightened risk of, you know, attacks and terrorists because of domestic ideologies, he should be relieved from his office. He should be fired. And he has no business running the FBI.
Well, here's what he said. During his opening statements, aside from domestic threats, which the corrupt FBI identifies as violent extremists and domestic violent extremists, including Trump MAGA supporters, yeah, Christians, and parents who have vocally participated in school board meetings, Ray emphasized the urgency of addressing the threat from foreign terrorist elites. Now, number one on his list is pro-lifers. Pro-lifers.
Yeah, pro-lifers first. And then, when he was asked about whether the country is safer under Biden, he went silent, did not answer. He could not answer.
Yep.
Or didn't want to. I imagine it's probably thought, better not touch this one. So he was just silent. He took an extended pause, sitting silently, appearing to be in deep thought, and all.
I was watching. I was listening to it. He knew what he was. He's doing exactly what he was doing. He works there. Again, it's the collective. Their job is to out there is to run a crooked protective racket to protect the Biden crime cartel.
He is one of the big shots in the deep state.
All of that money that they came in, okay, but you've got the Pandora files, all of that money that came in from overseas, billions and billions of dollars, it all got split up, and everybody, the heads of all of these, the IRS, the heads of the FBI, the Justice Department, all of these, everybody was in on it, in on the take. Got their money, and of course, they had to protect Hillary. Hillary could take them all down. Hillary could take, she had a book, she had the name, she had everything in there. That's why they protected her, you know, with her lives, because she could take them. Yeah. She went down, they were all going down with her.
Yeah, called the nuclear, pulling the nuclear option. You know, the one other thing that just hit me, Israel has put out, and talking about the people that were captive and killed, and they have prayers, and they're having their funerals. You notice the Americans have not put out, I have not seen a list of the Americans who were killed. I have not seen a list of the Americans who were taken captive. Looking around, it's like crickets about all those Americans who were dead or kidnapped. Our government isn't talking about them anywhere I've seen. Have you seen anything?
No.
Now, did you find that unusual that all those Americans are dead and captured and none of the news organizations are talking to the families of the kidnapped victims? It's not on the Fox News. It's not, you know, but they're talking to the people in Israel, but not to the Americans. I find this totally strange.
Well, there's a lot of other things happening. First of all, you can't, you know, there's propaganda, major propaganda pieces, disinformation coming from both sides, from Hamas and from Israel, both of them. In fact, you know, they both have exaggerated a lot of what has taken place as far as, and they've been caught doing it, okay? And some of the things, too, Israel has made some huge mistakes, and where they bombed the wrong places. And I know that those things happen in war, but they're keeping all of these things quiet.
Well, so, look what happened with that hospital thing. The world condemned Israel for bombing a hospital that they didn't do. So, you know, you really can't blame them for covering up a mistake. They are trying. I've never seen a military in the world that tried so hard not to incur civilian casualties, especially when Hamas puts their rocket launchers in front of a daycare center, in front of a mosque, and all front of. The enemy is doing everything they can to increase the Palestinian casualties because of publicity. And so, I mean, Israel's got to be in it.
And, you know, Joe, all of these simple-minded college students, and I mean simple-minded, college students that are out there rioting, supporting Hamas. Hamas could care less for the Palestinian people. Hamas could care less. The only thing Hamas cares about is being in power and jihad and killing. And
the state of Israel, their goal is to, from the river to the sea, they want to drive the Jews from the river to the sea, make Palestine free. That means drive all the Jews into the sea and kill them all, is what they're saying, because I've read their other stuff.
They have no intention of making a Palestine free. Palestine is much more captives under Hamas than they are under Israel.
That's right. They're being used as pawns in a political movement to destroy Israel, to bring Muslim control and power throughout the Middle East.
All righty. We're coming up to a break here. Shock poll. Trump leading Biden 40-17% among Arab Americans as support for Biden collapses over support for Israel after Hamas terror attack. Well, we'll see what's happening there. I know that he's really been losing a lot of support amongst the Hispanics.
Or but, even there's some Muslim immigrant is running against Omar, and she's saying, no, that we are not like her at all. The Muslims in America are not like this radical. We are, you know, real Americans, we're pro-America, so she's running to unseat this crazy radical member of the squad. So it goes along with what you were saying about these the Muslims backing Trump. The ones that are here for freedom to get away from that kind of control, yes, they're going to go for Trump. He's the only one that would, you know, do something to help get them freedom.
And the squat. Those women, okay, you know, Muslim women will cover their heads, so on. Those women are communist. They're communist to the bone. I mean, when I tell you communist, I mean communist to the bone. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, you know, the Muslims would not allow the filthy language. I mean, you talk about filthy language that comes from the mouths of those women every time they get up to speak. All right. We're coming up to a fast break. We'll be back right after this with a whole lot more, so don't go away. More to come.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.